So, guys, have you heard about the guy who won $2 billion with the Powerball and bought, like, two houses? One $4 million home and one $25 million house.
And that was me.
I wish, right?
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, no, but check this out. Like, the luckiest guy around is at it again, buying a property with the record-setting $2 billion Powerball jackpot he won in November. After claiming his win last month, Edwin Castro bought a $25 million home in the Hollywood Hills. And then he went off and bought a $4 million home in Altadena, which is like just a short distance from a gas station where he had purchased the winning ticket. Okay.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, my question to you guys is like, what would you do if you won that? Like, would you go off and spend millions on a huge house that you're going to get taxed? Like, no, the hell and back.
No. I'd get something comfortable, something that we can actually, like, I can control. The rest, of course, would be for Ouchcast. I'm kidding. No, the rest would be some investments and some
form of future media my kids. Productions.
Social media. And then also some of the studio stuff. I would bring the Curio City thing up to fruition, and you know.
So you make all your dreams come true is what you're saying.
No, because I wouldn't go over the top with the, you know, with the issue. I would keep it simple. Like, I wouldn't overdo it. Like, I wouldn't buy the mansion because, dude, the upkeep alone. Forget the taxes. The upkeep alone, dude. That means I have to hire fucking a landscaper, and then coming from my abatement.
No. Mr. Angel not home. No.
No, but
I clean.
Be like, that's enough, Tia. Go.
Would it solve all your problems though, having that much money?
No, like, I think it causes a lot more problems because me and my wife have spoken about it. About if we ever won the lotto, first of all, I would not announce it to anybody. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because not even my kids, because if I tell my kids, they're going to want everything. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to be like subtle about it and like we'll buy a home, nothing big, something like, you know, like a 6-7 bedroom because there's six of us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it sounds like a lot when you think about it, but there's six of us. So each one with a bedroom, that's, you know, decent size.
You want to live a little comfortable.
A little bit, but not over the top. I would not get a fucking mansion in the Hollywood Hills. That's a little bit much. I want something with a yard for my dog. I want
How big a house?
Six bedroom.
That's a mansion.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, there's six of us.
Yeah, I get it, but it's considered a mansion at that point.
But okay, but here's the thing. It's cool. You get a $2-3 million
mini
home,
mansion.
You're fine. If you got $2 billion and or whatever it is, because obviously you get half of that because
I was about to say, so, of the $2 billion, how much did he actually take home?
Somewhere between $1 billion and maybe $100 and who knows? But it's still a lot more money than we know. And
the government would take 46% or 48%.
Something like that, right? Yeah, so you put
insane. Which is what?
Fucking bullshit! All right,
thanks. Well, I'm gonna go do my taxes, so I'm gonna be using that freaking thing a lot too. But what would you guys do? What about you, Doyle?
I'm out. Don't call me. Don't try to fire me. I ain't gonna let you. Good luck.
He's gonna change
his. I'm on the moon.
He's gonna change his latitude. I'm on the moon.
Don't call me no more. Look,
I'm gonna go open a salad shop, and it's gonna be called Salad Tossers.
He's gonna change his last name to McDoyle.
All I'm gonna do. Look.
McDoyle's here. Welcome to McDoyle's.
Why do I think McDoyle Scrooge, burger? Why do I think Scrooge McDuck?
That's why. McDoyle.
No, if I won $2 billion, I'm disappearing. I'm off the grid like a mug. You will never find me because it means what's to stop anyone from coming after you? Anyone.
Well, that's why you don't make the announcement. That's what I said.
I don't need to make the announcement.
Like, you don't need to. The news will make it for you.
Yeah, I'm out. Someone's going to find out. Someone's going to
figure it out. You could be anonymous now. With the news, you could be anonymous.
I don't need the validation of nothing.
Yeah,
I don't need.
I would just be hush hush about the
whole
thing.
The reason why I'm going off the grid is because I'm gonna have somebody deliver ominously to the bat, you know, to the bat mansion up on, you know, that like hill where no one can get to. I'm for real buying that mansion.
McDoyle strikes again.
Out. And if there's clouds that shoot thunder behind my house when I wanted to, y'all don't understand. I would have tigers on the gold leash. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you're going to turn into Scarface is what you're telling me.
I mean,
say hello to my little friend.
You come to my house, I'm just letting you know. There's going to be cameras on you when you're at the gate.
Doyle's going to have a really bad Cuban accent when we meet him. Hi, man. You filthy horse.
Put him in... and then I'm a hire Ray to run the mango factory, and we're gonna put people into slavery.
Why are you doing?
Where did the mango factory come from in this weird like rich fantasy you
it's
have?
A thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Why are you doing with your tongue?
Like all the workers will be working in their underwear to make sure they don't steal the mangoes.
It's a thing. It's got
mangoes.
Yeah,
mangoes.
And I'm gonna
mango
get,
grove.
I'm gonna get Ray to run it. Shout out to Ray.
Gold leash tigers and mango field.
We're gonna become the mango cartel.
I need some sanity, George. What would you do if you won the lottery?
What you mean? He's working.
Who do you think he's hiring?
I'm working at the mango grove.
I'm working the mango grove.
Hey, take your shirt off in here. You ain't stealing no mangoes from us.
What's that in your pants?
We got a bat cave.
That's no mango.
We got a bat cave and a mango factory. We don't play.
That's not mango. That's a mongo.
Oh, my God.
Me and Elon.
Oh, wow. We went there.
You're going to be his mango now, plug.
George, what would you do?
I would find somewhere out, I guess, like... not in California, because California is like hella expensive.
Mm.
But I would definitely find like
Montana.
A nice state, right? No, dude, trip out. I went to Washington in 2006.
Oh, I love Washington. I never been, but
when I was there, I couldn't believe that they were literally selling an entire town for $300,000. So the price of a house back then, I could have bought an entire town. That really made...
It would have been like Schitt's Creek too, dude, but with George.
Be like, I'm the mayor, the sheriff.
And the janitor. Welcome to Georgetown. Wait. Band-Aid.
Isn't there already a Georgetown in Washington?
Georgetown. Hey, so you're telling me you wouldn't, like, first do an expedition to prove that the earth is flat?
Man, no, I'm not going to waste my money. I already
know it's a flat. Fact. What are you talking about? You didn't have to spend a dime on a fact.
I bring the question back to the person who started this whole fiasco, yes, Enrique.
I'm going to invest in all your ideas is what I would do. I'm going to get a mango grove going on. Doyle, here you go. Be fruitful.
I just want you to know there's going to be one corner of it, and it's going to be all ex-police, and they all going to be white, and I'm having a whip.
Wow.
Okay, and I'm putting all of that on YouTube. I'm going to stream it 24/7. Doyle's Mangrove. Mangrove.
I'm bringing back chattel mangrove slavery, but for white people. But just so you
it's
know.
It's going to be McDoyle Mangoes.
McDoyle's Mangrove.
We're only keeping... We're going to have a very diverse group of mango pickers. But
Paul
there's
McDoyle
only one sect.
Had a mangrove.
There's one sect for racist white people, and I'm bringing back chattel slavery, and I'm whooping the shit out of them. All of them.
You're gonna have a whip.
That way, we can balance out. We can make up for all those years.
So, to summarize, what Doyle's gonna do with his money is gonna fix all of society's racial problems.
This is for me.
That's his own personal fantasy.
Because no one's gonna get to see this.
I'm gonna hire people to take getting whipped. You know what I'm saying?
Whoopsh.
And they're all going to be ex-police, and we're going to just live stream it 24/7. And we're just going to send it to the ghetto people in the hood so that they feel better about getting their ass beat.
This is going to be Doyle.
I am. Where's the that's racist one? I want to hear that one.
That was absolutely racist, and I'm sorry to all my white friends.
Actually, this is going to be Doyle. While he's whipping, he's going to be going like this.
I don't know about that. That was too sexual.
Yeah, really. Come at me, bitch.
I put something in.
You just went through the catalog. You just pressed
buttons. I'm just pressing buttons. Here's one more for you guys.
You are fake news.
Yeah, it is fake
so
news.
So what would I do? I honestly, like, I would buy a house. Yes, I would, but not like $25 million home.
No, I would have done $25 million.
But I'd buy a nice house. I'm no lie. I'd
buy like a $2 million house, tops.
Yeah, I'd tops. Do that. You know, I'd get a nice car. The idea about not telling everybody, like that seems really, it seems really nice. But actually what I really want to do is I would buy all like the bars in Downey, and I would close them down.
Oh, wow.
So nobody can go to them outside. I would just put pictures of all the people that I hate saying, you're not allowed in here.
Wow.
That wouldn't stop all the accidents on Imperial.
Rest in peace, Kelly's Tavern.
I would start my own wrestling promotion.
Because, you know, those were my favorite bars before. Now the people that go there are assholes. Small, no?
It would be small. But
like all like my favorite bars in Downey, like nothing but assholes go there now. It's no longer fun, so I just might as well just shutter the whole thing.
Even Kelly's Tavern?
Kelly's Tavern. I mean, it's gotten better, but some of the newer, younger regulars, not the old regulars, which are cool, like the younger ones are trash, man.
Yeah, well, younger generation usually is.
That's what I would do.
Why don't you open your own bar?
Yeah.
Because then it'd probably turn to trash too.
We could turn this Kikes bar. Kikes.
Come to Kikes.
But then you'd have the white guy. Let's go to Kikes.
Oh my goodness.
That guy was in my mango factory for sure.
Yeah.
The owner of Kikes is going to be in the mango factory.
Yikes. You know what? You just put us in line of the Matrix. Thank you, Doyle.
Any of those anti-Semitic people, they're getting their own corner of the mango factory, and I'm going to let the Jews come in and whoop their shit out of
us. So Kanye's going to be there picking fucking mangoes?
Didn't you just say Kanye has made it?
He's pro-Jew again. I know nothing about fucking Kanye.
He's okay now.
That dude's all over the place.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'd enrich my family, make sure that they're taken care of. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I would actually like to shoot some of my film ideas too. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that right. And that's that would be the second thing. Make sure like the small group of friends that I have, I would want to make sure that, you know, I would spread a little bit of wealth out in that direction.
Yeah.
Because you gotta, you know, obviously you want to invest in good ideas.
That's why
we finished Saints and Assassins.
That's why I'm going off TV the show. That's why I'm going off the grid, because the moment I go off the grid, then the checks are in the mail and they're just gonna arrive. And then people are gonna be like, man, Doyle was a good guy. I wonder where he is.
Seen Flips, he's in a shed somewhere like the Unabomber with a beard like fucking Hugh Hefner.
Oh, I mean, 1,000%. If I get $2 billion, I'm becoming a supervillain.
Wearing a box of Kleenex as shoes.
I'm about to become the worst James Bond villain that there has ever
been. The funny part is, in this society, though, $2 billion would not get you that fucking supervillain.
Yeah, it would.
Not really.
$2 billion.
Sorry, Dr. Evil, but nowadays it'll last you for 6 months.
No,
$2 billion will buy me a nuke.
You'll get
Let's just steal some nukes like we always do and hold the world hostage.
We need some.
You'll get a Mako shark with a freaking laser on his head. That's the only thing you'll be able to get.
Need some freaking laser.
But it's gonna be a laser pointer, not an actual laser. a laser pointer.
First of all, I'm from the hood, so we don't want a pool. We're going to get like 6 pit bulls and put like spike collars on them and tell people, if you come into my backyard, you get bit.
You know, with that money, can you at least have
in the parking lot?
What was the thing? With that money, you could, one of those pit bulls can actually be pit bull and have him sing while he's doing it. Chain. Right?
Chaka, 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 chaka. You know what?
Have you ever seen a pit bull walk a pit bull?
in a mango grove.
I would hire Jennifer Lopez to just dance around 24/7 in the mango factory.
Oh my God.
Jennifer Lopez is a national treasure.
Oh, no, you didn't. You're adding her to it.
She kind of is a national treasure. I'm going to go with
She's
that.
She's an international treasure.
I'll allow that one.
I never saw the appeal of that one.
She's married to Batman. It's all good.
Okay, then I retract my past statement. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, good night.
You know what? Everybody go buy a lotto ticket.
Yeah.
Dreams do come true.
Play these numbers. 15.
14.
68. 68, a number you can choose?
Yeah, I think so. Isn't it? Okay. I don't know.
70.
4.
17.
How many numbers? Are six numbers.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, how many?
And the Powerball number?
8.
And if you win, you got to give us money, because we just gave you the winning numbers.
I want half.
Oh, I just want you to fund us.
I'm gonna buy you all the bananas you want, Angel.
Whoa!
All the bananas.
They're ignorant.
If you win the Powerball and you send us a box of churros,
yeah.
And on that note, go yourself. It's good night, everyone.
Fake news.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
You're a clothesline guy.
Hold on. But I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
One more time, guys.
Oh, Lord.
And welcome to the show. Hello, guys.
What fresh hell was that?
That was the topic of today's little ouchie, actually. That was Mike Tyson singing Phil Collins from The Hangover.
That was bad.
That was terrible, right?
I haven't watched that movie.
You haven't watched The Hangover?
I haven't watched The Hangover.
Oh, man. That is definitely a movie you have to catch up with sooner rather than later. Especially in light of today's topics.
Dude.
I lived Hangover. I would want to watch a movie
because it's about it. The first one is hilarious. The second one is shit. The third one is just like, eh, whatever. But the first one, if they would have stopped right there, that would have been great. But that's what we're here to talk about. Mike Tyson, dudes. Did you guys, it's going around the world. It just happened today. He basically punched a dude on a plane, a harassing guy. Did you guys see it?
I'm going to be honest. I've seen it like 100 times. I can't stop watching it.
Enrique?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm in the middle of trying to do my job and then, you know, like CNN, you know. Shows me what's up. Yeah, I had to click on it. I was enthralled, to say the least.
So apparently, it happened at 10:30 last night in a flight that Mike Tyson was on from San Francisco to Florida. All right. So, for those of you that haven't seen the video, basically, there's this young punk behind them that is just geeking out and star fucking him, and is like, "Oh my God, it's Mike Tyson!" It's like, you know, he's young, so he doesn't fucking realize how scary Mike Tyson could be and how little patience the guy has. He keeps egging him on and talking. And Mike Tyson, it's reported that Mike Tyson told him, be quiet, like nicely and quiet, like,
be quiet.
And don't wake me up, Mike Tyson. And the guy didn't get the hint. He just kept blabbing on and on and on. So then Mike Tyson got up and started beating the shit out of him. 55-year-old Mike Tyson beating the crap out of him, dude. The guy deserved it.
55-year-old Mike Tyson is still terrifying. Dude, any sane human being any semblance of common sense.
He could be 70. He'd still be fucking scary to me, dude.
He is one of the greatest punchers of people of all time.
Right?
And you thought, oh, he's not dangerous. This guy is just the person to slap his head and play the bongos on his neck.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, fucking, I don't know what that guy was thinking. Enrique, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, from what I read, you know, the guy seemed like he was inebriated. He seemed like he was being obnoxious. And, I mean, I'm, you know, in light of, like, the slap felt across the world with Will Smith, you know, we talked last time about, you know, using our words, and I think in this case Mike Tyson used his words as best he could, but this guy was inebriated and being obnoxious, and I mean, I guess at some point you just gotta call it. It's punch and do time, you know, it's clobbering time, as the thing would probably say. So
yeah, well, I'm reading the report right now, and it says that, yeah, the guy was extremely intoxicated. As of this afternoon, the San Francisco Police Department actually investigated. They actually treated him for non-life-threatening injuries. And when they tried to get a report, the quote, the person provided minimal details of the incident and refused to cooperate further with the police investigation. So basically, the guy's like, yep, yeah, I deserved it. So at least give him credit for that. You know, yeah, he was drunk, but at least he fucking realized that he wasn't being a jackass.
Nope, I'm calling BS on that. That's not going to happen. You know what's really happening is
he's getting ready for a lawyer.
And then,
yeah,
some lawyer's going to show up. It's going to be like, hey, you know what? We got you.
Yeah.
Or the other side, I think Mike Tyson, he reportedly took off, but I'm sure some representative was waiting for this guy and told him, hey, look, don't say nothing. We're going to talk some money. Just hold out.
Just hold for a minute.
Bet you that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Because a dude who, like Mike Tyson, who at 55 is still the scariest, one of the scariest men on earth, I'm sure he has some dude on retainer, you know, that covers up his messes when this happens. Because I'll tell you, if you're predisposed to punching dudes once, you're going to be predisposed to punching them other times.
Yeah, of course. So, you're going to have someone on retainer.
Yeah. Jesus. Although, I would say that there's a story that I read while looking that up. And, you know, suddenly you go down the rabbit hole and you're thinking, okay, well, what else has Mike Tyson been up to? And then you find out that not too long back, he was at a bar in Hollywood watching a comedian, and some dude apparently went up to him, and I think it happens often where he gets challenged to boxing matches by random drunk guys.
Yeah,
This guy says, hey, I wanna up my rep, and Mike Tyson's just listening him out, and I guess when the MC comes out and tells him like, hey, you know, slow your roll. The guy pulls out a gun, and Mike Tyson still calmly heard the gun out, even hugged it at the end.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We apparently got a badass version of Mike.
Yeah. No, Mike is interesting as hell. Supposedly, one of the representatives of Mike Tyson says that before, because you know how the video cuts. Supposedly, the guy threw a water bottle at Mike Tyson. That's what set him off.
There are quite a few things that could have set Mike Tyson off.
Like, and I could have been
all
breathing.
I'm saying is, I think who this guy, if he ever goes to court, he should definitely have a plea of insanity, because there is no reason why he would just set this man off. First off, he has a face tattoo. Anyone with a face tattoo like Mike Tyson's is to be respected and left alone. Second of all, he is a world champion boxer. For anyone who's listening, this is a combat specialist who recently got back into shape. Mm-hmm. And let me just point out to anyone who does not know and is not aware of this story, but Mike Tyson once kidney punched a man and ruptured this man's kidney. They told him if the punch had been a quarter inch to the left, the man's kidney would have completely ruptured and died, and the man would have died instantly on the spot.
I believe
so.
It.
I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. I know mental health is a thing, but there is definitely something to be said about someone who decides to throw water. It's like, it's like throwing matches at TNT. What did you expect was going to happen?
Smoking near flammable liquids. Oh, man.
Well, it's tickling that. It's like watching a gorilla and going up and saying, you know, I want to tickle his chin, you know. You're probably gonna get your testicles ripped off. Person, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you're gonna be dead.
Amen, man. Amen. Hey, you know what? The rematch should be Mike Tyson versus Will Smith.
I am so glad you brought that up, because I feel like Will Smith should slap Mike Tyson. If it was me, I would tell Mike Tyson that Jada had alopecia, and I would have said that he said, and I'd have went and told Will Smith just to see if he had the same kind of vitriol to go and slap Mike Tyson like he slapped Chris Rock. That's just me personally, but I'm kind of a sadist, so I like watching that kind of stuff.
Jada has alopecia.
No, I can't do it, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, let us hire that one.
Yeah. Angel. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's interesting, but you know what? If you're gonna heckle Mike Tyson at the end of the day, let's be real. You're gonna heckle Mike Tyson. You deserve a legal fucking hall pass to get your ass beat. Like, dude, come on, it's Mike Tyson. How the fuck are you gonna fucking heckle that guy? You know.
You know, he's a complicated person. I mean, you know, like, if you believe half the stories, and there's been so many over the past 20, 30 years. You know, with his ex-wife Robin Givens, with like biting his ear off, and I mean, this is a guy who's like on his best days was like pretty unstable, and only recently has he talked about like finding some spiritual center where, you know, he's in touch with this more sensitive side. Like he got all philosophical about like violence and anger on a recent podcast with Rogan, and then I think one of the Logan brothers had challenged him to a boxing match. So the rumor was that he was going to do it, but recently he said something along the lines of like, well, I want $1 billion to do it. I mean, he's not going to get $1 billion for it, but I'm sure he has a realistic price. Nevertheless, man, this is not a guy who, you know, who is philosophically, emotionally centered. Right. And so here you have this like heckling dude behind him, you know, like, I mean, he took a selfie with the guy from what I understand. And so
yeah.
He was being as accommodating as a human can be, but I'll tell you what, there comes a time when you turn into Popeye, and you know, what's the Popeye line? You know,
I am what I am.
No, the other one. I can't stand anymore.
Oh,
you know, and I think
that's like it, man. I can't stand anymore.
You know, there is something to be said. Enrique, you just used a very interesting set of words. You said Mike Tyson is complicated. I'm going to agree to disagree on this one. I think he's pretty simple. You piss him off, he punches. It's pretty easy to understand. Somehow this guy missed the memo.
Yeah, and he looks like a younger cat, so I think he's in the new generation that don't fucking understand shit, you know? The same fucking
had to be a millennial, right?
I don't want to fucking talk shit about millennials, but yeah, you're right. It had to be a millennial. Come on, there's some kind of air of arrogance and entitlement from millennials, at least the ones that I've dealt with, you know?
He was definitely entitled to something.
But come on, like, okay, to defend Mike Tyson some more, I can't believe, like, this whole thing has become a whole, we defend Mike Tyson, but dude, it was 10:30 at night, yeah? The guy is traveling, and by the looks of it, he's traveling business class. It's not like a private jet or nothing. He had to go through security. He had to go through all that shit. He's not a patient guy. You know, he's not a patient guy. At that point, he's fucking annoyed. Who knows where he's going to? Who knows what his business? He's traveling late. So, yeah, he's going to get set off, especially if you're going to throw a bottle at your fucking head, you know? I don't know. I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit there.
Go ahead, Enrique, you go first.
I apologize. I was just asking, did he really get a bottle thrown to his head, though? Is that really what was in the video?
It's not in the video. If you look at the video cuts. It shows him at first, and his friend is like egging him on, like, oh, my boy won't shut up. And then it cuts, and then he starts recording after Mike starts going off on him. But from the eyewitnesses and everyone else, they're saying like, yeah, dude, Mike Tyson was instigated. So everyone's basically backing up Mike that the drunk guy is the one who fucking instigated him. And I do believe it from the little evidence that we did see.
Yeah, I definitely feel like where Mike Tyson's at in his life and the kind of person he's become, you know, he's not confrontational. Although I will say I crossed Mike Tyson once at a car wash. He is by far one of the scariest human beings in the world. So this guy had to definitely been on some of the best drugs on the planet in order to think, oh yeah, this is going to work out for me. Just because, you know, one of the amazing quotes that I love from Mike Tyson is that before a fight, he would just stare down his opponent. And if his opponent just so happened to look away, then he knew he was going to win the fight. And so when I crossed paths with Mike Tyson,
you peed a little?
I kind of felt like that principle applied. And he scared me. I peed a little, maybe a lot. but I'm just saying that you could not logically come to the conclusion that this man was to be messed with if you were in your right mind. That's all I'm saying.
Doyle, if you saw him eye to eye and you peed, that means you're normal, because I would have fucking peed and maybe a little vomit in my mouth.
Look, I'm not a coward and I'm not weak. I would fight any human being on this planet, but if I was in prison and Mike Tyson was my cellmate, I think I'm just going to roll over and give in. That's all I'm saying.
You'd be putting on lipstick. And on that note, that concludes this little ouchie. Unless you guys got something else to add and make it like an hour long like we always do when we get together.
If there was ever a more perfect time to just use the phrasing ouch, just go and look at this guy's mugshot. At the end of the clip, they show this guy's face. Now, he was on drugs and he had just got punched by Mike Tyson, and yet he looked like he was crying. So Mike Tyson punched the drugs out of this man's body.
He sobered him up in 1 second.
Go to our website, ouch.com, and check out this photo.
Ouchcast.com.
Ouchcast, I apologize.
Jeez, you can't even do promos. You know what? I need Mike Tyson to beat you up now. I really do.
No, Mike, no.
Mike, get on it. Enrique, anything to add before we sign off?
When you're a sex offender and an ex-convict and you've been some I'm just going to say, you know what? It's best to just be happy that he gave you a selfie and then leave the bastard alone, because you know what? You're gonna get, at worst, you're gonna get punched. And you know, I'm just gonna say that, you know, this is like a moment of stupidity, and I'm glad it's on video. And I'm hoping it serves as a warning to everybody: don't be stupid, people. Don't be stupid.
Now, if Mike ever does hear this, I don't like that, the way that those terms that Enrique described you. I don't. Beat him up.
You and the people of Ouch do not endorse the opinion.
We do not. Wait, the people of Ouch does not endorse anything that Enrique said tonight.
Please don't punch me, Mike Tyson.
All right, guys, that's it for today.
Mike,
that's
the quick one.
I'll see you guys in the studio for the next one, and then peace out and hair grease. Later, guys.
Later.
Bye.
Bye. Now I'm recording.
Oh no.
It's very, very simple to just be yourself.
Okay.
So, okay. We'll start. So we met. God, the background noise is pretty loud. So we met through Facebook, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. How did that happen?
I thought we met about some rental or something.
Yeah, that's what happened. I was looking for help to get a rental because my apartment was going to turn into offices, which they turned into a break room, by the way. But anyway, so I had to get out fast, and I was running out of time, and vacancies around here are ridiculous. So you reached out. I know it's not your forte. That was very nice of you, man. The fact that you were just trying to help out, that was cool. And I mean, it's good. It's good karma.
Yeah.
And then we met.
It's funny because they usually don't, you know, usually the rentals become nothing. And you're like, man, that was a waste of time. But it's like, that's the whole point. It's like build a relationship.
Yeah, karma.
At least meet somebody and be like, hey, you know, like, and we kind of get along.
Yeah, that's why.
Ideologically.
Yeah, like,
we think similarly.
That works, yeah. And then, you know, I love seeing your posts.
You have a dark sense of humor.
Very dark. Very, very dark. Anyway. And I get angry at times when I post things. But, you know, it's in my nature. But, and you do real estate. And then also, shockingly to me, when I found out when we started following each other, you do ice cream. That was the one that I was like, whoa. You know, that was cool, man. Ice cream Ian, right?
Right.
How did you get into that?
So basically, a friend of mine is icecreamman.com, and he, you know, for 7 years, he drove around the country giving away free ice cream. The first 2 years, he used my original truck, Bessie, and so about 9.5 years ago, I bought Bessie from him, and then he still does a few events a year in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
But I've sort of taken over in Southern California and been in, you know, real fortunate to do like music videos and TV shoots.
That's amazing,
and stuff,
man.
Like that.
That is amazing. Yeah, I saw some of the stuff that you had. Although you had Jake Paul, which I can't stand him, that little bastard, or Logan Paul. I don't know, one of the Paul brothers.
I had both of them, actually.
But hey, whatever works for you, man.
Well, that's a good story, right? So Logan Paul rented my truck, and during that shoot, they like broke the side mirror, side window. I got a ticket for parking in front of his brother's house, and his brother's crew threw like 30 eggs at my truck. But then they compensated me financially, basically, you know, like paid me more than they were supposed to, whatever. Logan did. Mm-hmm. And then like 3 or 4 years later, I saw Jake at a shoot at his house.
Did he remember you?
And I was like the first one. He woke up at about 3 o'clock, right? That's when he finally got out of bed to like be in the shoot. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, what's up, Jake? Remember me? And he's like, I never met you before. And I was like, yeah, you threw a bunch of eggs at my truck. And I like pointed at the truck because we were like walking outside. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I remember you, you know, like, and then he like ran away, basically. I don't know. So it's just kind of funny because like that's what that guy does to everybody else, is like makes them feel uncomfortable. Like,
yeah, that's a shtick.
I got your hat and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what makes me old. I don't get that. I don't get that kind of humor. I don't have a place for that. But I mean, hey man, it's popular. He's rich. I'm broke. So
yeah,
I'll tell you something. I'm out of touch.
I don't know. There's some stuff that's funny and some stuff that's just dumb. I don't know. I've worked. Like, there's a YouTuber right now that I realized has sort of lifted one of our logos. He's, like, using our logo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I watched some of that guy's stuff, and it's just so dumb. It's just so bad, you know? And then, I've done, like Trevor Wallace and this dude Churdleys. Do you know what that is?
No.
But those guys, their humor is pretty, like... sophomoric, let's say, but some of it's funny, some of it are just like, oh my god, dude. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, one of the last things we talked about on mine is that I guess now since I'm 42, you know, getting up there, I kind of like a different generation, and I'm starting to turn into that old man where it's like, I don't understand this other, these young kids these days, you know. It's like,
yeah, just don't say that out loud.
I don't,
cute, you know, like, just like act like you know.
Yeah,
you
I'm
know,
like, yeah, like, cool.
I don't know.
No,
it's hard.
I'm very opinionated. I'm very...
I do feel like I get in situations where I'm like, man, I'm probably too old to like trying to be hanging out with these people.
Yeah.
I just did a music video, and like just like during the breaks and stuff, they'd all be like exchanging music and chatting, and like a lot of them were friends because they were like all the extras. Like they all like got together, mm-hmm. and all were extras together because they're like whatever.
Yeah.
And then I don't know.
Like, you felt like, out of
hey,
place.
I met Tyga once, you know, and they're like, get out of here, fucking cornball, you know.
You haven't tried to push the real estate?
I don't know. It's like ice cream stuff just kind of comes. I have like one deal I'm working on right now, like putting something together, you know. I have a buyer, and then I had a listing that I lost like a couple weeks ago, so there's stuff here and there, but you know, I'm
nothing,
just
nothing
like
concrete.
Follow the money, you know, like I'm pretty busy doing, like I got another promotion coming up like right after the holiday, right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
it'll be like a 3-4 day rental that, you know, I'll make a little bit of money on. So
that's cool.
Just kind of do what you can do, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But so it's the other way around then. Your day job is the ice cream, and your hobby
like,
is the real
it
thing.
It seems like it's more like I'm doing ice cream. It's tough, man, dude. Like I just did like the one I always think of is I did this like Ricky Martin shoot, right? Mm-hmm. And at like midnight, I was like, hey, so am I done? Like, can I leave? And they're like, no, stick around, you know, like, they still might need you in the background or something.
Yeah.
And I'm making money every hour that I stay.
Stand by here.
But it's getting late, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like, I finally left at like 2:30. I'm leaving, and this is in Simi Valley. Mm-hmm. So it's like a hike to get back to Long Beach. By the time we got back to Long Beach, the truck's doing like 40 on the freeway, to the floor. Like, it's obviously, basically it was running on like two valves instead of six, you know, or like, I don't know. There's bad spark plugs. There's spark plug issues.
Yeah.
Anyways, so then you get home and you're just like, God, man, I feel like I, you know, like almost died right there. And then made, what, $1,200 or something, for the, you know, versus doing real estate where, which has its own, like, you know, this can be annoying trying to get something through escrow, but you can make a lot more money than $1,200, and usually you don't risk your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. usually. No, I was interested in the real estate thing. I was wondering how that worked, because I know, I mean, everyone has a family member that's in
real estate.
But I always wonder how it works, because it's not like a, it's not a steady paycheck.
Right.
It's by commission,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you make a lot, sometimes you don't make a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, people are like,
and
I
it
got,
seems like a lot
I
of
got
work.
Hired by this real estate company, and you're like, yeah, dude, of course. They'll take a percentage of your commission,
yeah.
You know, and a desk fee or something.
Yeah,
you know?
That's ridiculous.
So yeah, so you don't really get hired by a real estate company as much as you hire them.
You hire them to like, be network your broker. Them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
so. That but yeah, difficult. No, it's a hustle, man. You gotta. I, like, what's cool about real estate is you can do it lots of different ways. You know, you could just run like a ton of Facebook ads and just like wait for numbers to come in and call all those numbers and just do it that way. Or you could just work your sphere of influence and like do pop buys and like have throw parties for like your 50 friends and family or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or you can do a farm where you just like focus on one farm. You know, so. I don't know. I like to think I try to do the sphere of influence thing, but I need to do a better job of like following up with people.
It's all about the sales, the marketing, basically. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know. I mean, I can do that for ice cream too, right? Like I can email people and be like, hey man, you know, keep in mind if you guys need an ice cream truck for any of your
events.
Shoots, obviously, also like if you want to sell your house, let me know. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which gets weird, right? Because then people are like, wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because it's not correlated with each other.
Why would I hire an ice cream man to sell my house?
So you got the ice cream through a friend, ice cream man, you said?
Ice cream man, yeah.
Ice cream man. Okay, you got through him. And real estate, you got, that's just something that you...
I don't know. I've always been interested in real estate, definitely. Like, used to own a house in Georgia with my ex-wife, so she owns that place, and I own my place. And they're good investments, you know. Yeah. I feel like it's always a good idea.
You grew up out there?
No. That was purely a real estate investment.
Got it.
I didn't even see it for like 6 years.
Here's my question.
Okay.
And this is the main one that's actually the main theme of the next podcast. When you were a child, you had your dreams, your dream jobs, your dream career, you know, what you wanted to be when you grew up. I grow up, you had those, right? What were they?
I guess I wanted to be a veterinarian when I was a kid. That's what I went to school for, sort of. And then I switched gears. When I went to UC Santa Barbara, I decided that I didn't want to stay there for 5 years, and I switched majors just so I could get out earlier. So, yeah.
Right on.
I wanted to be a veterinarian.
And
what did you want to be?
And now I wanted to be famous, and that never happened.
You wanted to be like an actor or a musician?
No, musician. Musician and filmmaker, but that never happened, so I'm stuck where I'm at.
Yeah.
But, and now, you did not become a vet. You became an ice cream guy and a real estate guy.
Yeah.
So my question is, was that a happy choice of you? Do you think that your outcome was better than you expected? Or is that something that you wish would have happened?
No, I don't think I would have been a very good veterinarian, honestly. I think I'm a better ice cream man / realtor / random person that's trying to figure it all out like everybody else, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I was a teacher for 21 years. Like, I had that whole job for a long, long time.
What did you teach?
I taught high school English mostly. Taught some junior college.
Right on.
Taught like elementary when I first started, you know, which that was like a whole nother trip, whole nother thing. I mean, I never really wanted to be a teacher. I just kind of like took the CBEST or whatever it was called to become a substitute and then make pretty good money teaching. So you just keep doing that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure at some point I wanted to be an actor too and be famous, like a lot of people do.
Yeah. I just wanted to tell stories. That was my whole thing. I wanted to tell stories and entertain, you know?
Yeah.
I have a lot of them, but none of them are ever going to get made.
I don't. I probably wanted to be like in the NBA too, like when I was a kid too.
You're too short.
definitely too short.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot, dude. That was my main question. That was the main one. Everything else was a lead up. We might have you, if this recording does not work out, we'll have you in the studio sometime. Okay. I'll give you an advance notice. But this was my buddy Ian, the ice cream man. Plug your website.
It's just icecreamian.com or icecreamians.com, you know, like, because we're people from the land of ice cream. We're the ice creamians. So, yeah, check it out. See a bunch of silly videos, and there's merch on there, too, you can buy.
Yeah, some really cool stuff, and check them out on Instagram and Facebook. And that's it for me.
Nice. Close this up.
Hello, welcome. This is Ouchie number 2, and it's just a little test that I did with Enrique to try to work out a new phone interview app. Didn't work out, so back to the drawing board, but we had a quick little chat, and it was interesting. I think you guys would enjoy. And there we are. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey. This is pretty cool. Okay, so it's like a phone call. There's no background music, but I think there was going to be someone when it actually gets like recorded over.
Yeah.
It's like the last one. So I guess this will be our second Ouchie. How you been?
How's it going with you?
Pretty good, you know, just day job. But I saw that you went to a concert. Who was it again?
Oh, yeah, man. Mayor Hawthorne.
He rings a bell, but I'm not too familiar with him. No.
Oh man, he's great. He has actually an interesting story because I think at the time when he first started, he wanted to like use samples of like old Motown songs.
Cool.
You know, stuff like Al Green and
Sam Cooke.
Yeah, there you go. But all that stuff ended up being like expensive, so he said, well, why don't I just like try to write my own songs of that style, and it made a whole album of it, and you know, good stuff. But it wasn't until he completed his album that like he got a deal, and Warner, who was there, who was the ones who signed him, said, hey, you know, we need just one more song. And it's always, you always hear that, it's always that one more song, like from different bands. And so he goes home all pissed off, like, why are you making me write another song? And he writes a song called The Walk, which became his like biggest hit, and it's a fantastic song. Great, just great performance. And man, dude, I recommend him. I think he'd be up your alley.
Yeah, I'll text me the name again. I did see it. I heard some clips of it. I did enjoy it. I was like, hey, that sounds like something that I would listen to.
Yeah.
So send it to me, and then I'll take a look at it. But sure. You heard the first episode of the little mini podcast, the Ouchie, right?
I did. It was great. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect. I absolutely loved meeting the ice cream man.
Yeah, Ian. Ian is a trip, man. He's a really good guy. He believes in, you know, paying it forward. He does a lot of things with kids and with celebrities, and he had a lot of stories. I mean, I he didn't even touch base on it because I guess, I don't know if he was nervous or, I don't know. It was his first podcast. But he's worked with Selena Gomez. If you go to Ice Cream Ian, it'll show you like all the people that he's worked with before. And you're like, dang, this guy's worked with all those people? And he's like, yeah, he has. He's an interesting cat with an interesting little adventures. I would like to talk to him some more later when he gets more comfortable.
Yeah, definitely. You know, where do you find all these people? Like, you have like such a rich cast of characters in your life. Where do they all come from?
From different aspects, different life, day jobs, or just life in general. You know, I met some interesting people when I was living in New Orleans or when I was in Biloxi. I try to be friendly when I can be. So that's usually how it is.
Oh, wait a minute. You lived in New Orleans? I mean, I've known you since high school. I did not know that.
No, you know me since junior high. Get that straight.
Yeah, that's true.
We know each other since junior high. But back in right after Katrina, I got shipped off to do some Katrina relief out in New Orleans. And I lived there for a while. As a matter of fact, I arrived the day of the first Mardi Gras after Katrina. I arrived. And I got my rental car that the company was paying for, and I met my boss. He says meet at the parking lot at the office. So he sent me the address, and this is the days of early GPS. I had a TomTom.
Oh, I don't remember those. I remember those.
Yeah, I had a TomTom, so I had to put the thing in, and I was going blind, and it was a complete culture shock when I got there from the airport, from Louis Armstrong Airport. I was like, I did not want to do it. I was like, no, I don't want to do this. You know, far from home. I knew nobody. I've never done that. I drove myself into downtown. I didn't know that the office was actually, the headquarters was in downtown. Mm-hmm. I get there, and then my boss shows up, and he's like, oh yeah, just leave your car and let's go to French Quarter, which is like a 10-minute walk from the office. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh okay. And then we walked down, and there, boom, that was Mardi Gras. That was my welcome to New Orleans, your home for the next couple months. So yeah, I was there for almost 5 months.
Oh wow.
I was living in between there and Biloxi, Mississippi. At first, like I said, I didn't enjoy New Orleans, but it really grew on me really fast, where every day that I'm gone, I miss it. I really do. Mm-hmm. But you know,
I've been wanting to go. I've never been. You know, I mean, I imagine, like, you know, I always imagine it like from the movies and stuff. You know, looking all humid and but like exciting, and it looks like a good time.
It really is. It's not like the movies at all, but it does have a different energy than, you know, that LA does. But you know how we have all those you know, tourists that come here, they expect LA to be a certain way, and it's not anything like in the movies. You know, it's completely different than it. I mean, we do have a little bit, like, we do have Rodeo Drive, we do have those pockets of what you see in the movies, but in reality, it's a whole different animal. It's LA has its own vibe, just like New York has its own vibe.
Interesting you say that. I've been taking lots of trips the past few, like, you know, 6 months up north to San Francisco, Marin County. Yeah. And you know, it you know, it gives me like a little bit of a perspective whenever I come back to LA, because I often think about like the perception of LA. You know, the movies do like a great job of trying to sell this romantic idea of what LA is. And when you live here, it's like what you don't see are, like, you know, all the Latinos and all, like, the communities that clearly are struggling with, you know, zoning laws. And
yeah, Koreatown, Little Tokyo. Mm-hmm. You see all these things, and yeah.
And so I think of that, and then I go up to... So, you know, go, you know, looking at San Francisco and looking at LA, you know, the first thing that strikes me is just how communities are so different. Like here in LA, you can literally go from one block to the other, and you go from the, you know, the very Latino community to a more you know, affluent community. You know, more like gentrified.
Yeah, community. I was gonna say, yeah, hipsterist. Yeah.
Where in San Francisco, you know, there's a lot of, because of how expensive it all seems. It seems like there are poor parts of the city for sure, but
of course.
It's hard. It's much harder to see, and it's such a big city. Just incredibly different, but definitely a place I love to visit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My brother used to live up there, so I spent a lot of time. Matter of fact, back when the O.J. Simpson, low speed pursuit, I was actually in San Francisco visiting him for the summer.
Mm.
So I saw it all up north, and it was a trip seeing all that happening. You know, it always gets stuck in my memory. It's like, it's very
Very interesting. Yeah, he lived in Pacifica, he lived in Napa, and he lived in San Francisco. And I really liked it, and I always thought when I was younger, yeah, I would like to live up there. But, you know, you see the prices now, and I'm like, yeah. With a family of six, and I'm the only income maker, forget that.
Yeah, your earning potential up there is way lower, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, though, that this is a big difference between you and I. Like, at a very young age, I stayed tethered to Southern California. I stayed here. You got to have all these different, you know, experiences out there. I think the only time that I can recall, you know, getting out to, you know, up north was when I was visiting Cecilia, and those were very sparse. I you know, had a very sheltered, you know, youth. I didn't start traveling until much later in my 20s, like late 20s. And so